Awesome. Hey, let's pray before we get into the word. God, we thank you that you are so good to us, Lord, that you will lead us today from glory to glory, that you will shape us and form us into your likeness. And God, we pray that today we go out different than when we came in. We go out into the world and God, just create and form in us the ability to be peacemakers in your mighty, wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you've been following with us, our theme for the month has been, I'm gonna get this tongue twister right. Sabbath, shalom, spiritual rest. And so we've been talking about all of these things, and so talked about how to look after yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We talked about how to pick your eyes up and really see the future and not get bogged down in the current scenario. We talked about what peace really is in a perspective, not necessarily that your life will be without turmoil. But we wanted to really cap off this sermon series with what good is it to take all of this in and have this great peace that surpasses all understanding from Christ and not give it to the world? What good is it to be selfish and have it all to ourselves, right? So we want to be peacemakers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says, and this was Jesus preaching, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Now, when I ask you peacemakers, what comes to mind? Is it those like fights at school where there was a kid that would just like hold everybody back, you know? And then the other kid that wanted to fight, it's like, "Stop holding me back, bro. So you're lucky he's holding me back," you know? Is it the kid that was holding everybody back? Is it mediation? There's a mediator in your family who does all of the mediation and they look after everything. Is that the peacemaker? Or is it like you just tongue twisted it in your head and you went to peacekeepers and you went to East Timor and, you know, like that's what that was where we were when I grew up, right? That was where the army was. What is a peacemaker? How do we become peacemakers? How do we take this peace that we've found in Christ to the rest of the world? We've got two stories to go through today, both of them from Scripture, and I'll show you where they are, but we're going to summarize them for the sake of time. In John chapter 4, verse 1 through to 42, is the story of the woman at the well. Now, there's a little bit of context at first to get into. See, Jesus and his disciples, they're heading from Judea back to Galilee. Right? And in order to get there, they've got to go through Samaria. So they're on their way somewhere else. Right? This is kind of not a detour they have to go through. Now, the historical context of the Samaritans is that they were mixed race people. They were Jewish of some description down the line, but they were also mixed with because of Babylonian captivity. And as a part of Babylonian captivity, they were viewed by the Jewish people as unclean, both because they'd been, you know, they'd adopted some of the belief systems, but mostly because of ethnicity, right? Mostly because they were now mixed race. And so they were seeing this as unclean. And so it was against the Jewish law at the time to even talk with, discuss with Samaritans. They were viewed as Gentiles. They were viewed as unclean people. And so Jesus, he heads to the well whilst the disciples go and get food. So Jesus ditches his mates and he goes and heads to the well and he sits down and sees a Samaritan woman come to get water, and so he instigates a conversation with her. She's absolutely shocked that he would even talk to her. She's like, "Hey, are you all right? Like, you're breaking the law talking to me. Like, we're not even supposed to talk together." And Jesus gives her a parable. And he says that there is living water greater than the water that's found in the well, and that she can have that water, which will be eternal life. And of course, she asks for it. And then to prove that he is the Messiah, he tells her something that he could not have known otherwise. He calls out her past and then declares that a future is coming where Jews and Samaritans will live together, worship together. She responds, telling him that she knows the Messiah is coming. So she's had that teaching. She knows the Messiah is coming, the one that will save and unite. And Jesus declares to her, surely I am this man. The disciples interrupt, and when they interrupt, she takes that opportunity to run. She ditches her jar of water and she runs off and tells the whole town what just happened. She's like, my life just changed. I just met the Messiah. Guys, this is amazing. You got to head down to the well. I think he might still be there with his mates, right? Like, run, 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 go, go, go. And the Samaritans come and they urge Jesus to stay with them. Jesus stays there for another 2 days and teaches them. And at the end of the 2 days, the Samaritans said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. See, she in that moment, she was given peace and eternal life and saved from her sins. She runs and tells the world and draws them into to Jesus, draws them back to Jesus. And then the result thereof is that 2 days later, these guys are going, hey, this is not just your faith anymore. This is mine. Wow, God has changed my life so drastically. Surely he's the Savior of the world. Because she received the peace found in Christ, she went and told everyone, gathered them around, and they were able to receive the same. This here marks more than just a great moment in this, you know, this town. This here marks the first time that the Samaritan people are reunited to the Jewish people. Before the cross, before the resurrection, Jesus accepts the Samaritan people. See, Jesus here is reunifying people. He's breaking down this barrier of legality and law, and Jesus is letting the Samaritans that were viewed by the Jewish people as unclean in to receive salvation. See, both here, Jesus and the Samaritan woman are peacemakers. But both took a risk. See, Jesus took a risk. Jesus took a risk knowing that the rest of the society at the time would view this as a really bad interaction to be talking to this woman that he wasn't really socially acceptably allowed to talk to. And she took a risk knowing that her reputation wasn't good. Jesus called that out. Her reputation wasn't good, but she just had to tell people. She just had to go around and tell everybody. We create peace in four ways. I'm going to read from Philippians 4:4-9, and you can follow along with this one. This one will be on the screen. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and God of peace will be with you. Right here, we see within this story, and within the instruction here given, is that we create peace by doing four things. Firstly, faith. First and foremost is always follow God and you will receive peace. See, it says right there, follow God and the peace that surpasses all understanding. See, we know that we will find that peace in ourselves. The second thing, faith is the first thing. The second thing is word. Pray and tell the world of the peace you've found. Pray for your friends, for your brothers, for your sisters, for your family members, for your colleagues, for whoever that is. Pray for them, but tell them. Tell them of the peace that you've found in Christ. See this Samaritan woman, she goes and she tells them what happened She tells them of the mess that she came from and the mess that she's no longer in. See, by our testimony, by going and telling our friends of what Jesus did, we're going to see a shift in them. What Jesus did in my life. See, I found a massive difference in the response of people from when I stopped talking about church and start talking about Jesus. If you don't tell them you go to church on Sunday, but you tell them you're friends with Jesus, it's a totally different conversation. First, faith. Second, word. Third, deed. Live different. Live for Christ. Bring others to Christ. See, when we live different, she goes on and Jesus tells her, go, sin no more. She goes on and we assume doesn't sin. But she's saying, this is totally different. My life is totally different now. And so when we live different, we're evidence of the work that God has done in our life. And the fourth one, the last one, is never compromise truth. Even when you're scared, even when you're worried. Even when you're, you know, worried that it might lose you your job. Worried that it might be, you know, breaking the law. Worried that whatever it is, faith, word, deed, truth. That's how we create peace. Let's talk about the second story and we'll see this pattern, faith, word, deed, truth, follow through again to create peace in such an amazing way. In Acts chapter 10, from verse 1 all the way through to chapter 11, verse 18, but we're just going to summarize it. This is the story of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius is a centurion in the Roman army. What that means is, particularly at the time, the Jewish people are controlled by the Romans. See, the Jewish people don't want to be controlled by the Romans. So he's the enemy. And remember that the Jewish people viewed the Samaritans, who were half Jewish or some level of Jewish, they viewed them as unclean. How much more unclean the Romans were, right? So this Roman centurion is viewed by the Jewish people as like, you're the worst. But it says here that he loved God and was exceedingly generous to others. And that God saw what he was doing. And God sent him an angel, and the angel tells him to go and collect Peter from a city called Joppa. And so he sends these two guys to go and collect Peter. And God shows Peter a vision whilst these guys are coming that their foods of you know, pigs and all that sort of stuff is now clean to eat. And that all people are meant to hear the gospel. And then the angel tells him that there's men coming to collect him. The men go and collect him and they bring him back to Cornelius. And because he was expecting Peter, Cornelius got all of his family and all of his close friends and gathered them in his house. He got everybody he could together and just flooded his home with people. Peter raises the issue when he arrives that it is against the law for him to be with the Gentiles. So immediately, like God's told him, go. But Peter says as he rocks up, hey, like, this is not right. I'm not supposed to be here. But the vision showed Peter to go and to not call them unclean. And so he stays and he asks, why am I here? How cool is this as a response from Cornelius? Cornelius tells Peter the vision that he had to say, tell your guys to go and get Peter. And literally answers effectively, you're here because God told me to go and get you. I don't actually know why you are here and what you're supposed to say, what you're supposed to preach. God told me to go get you, so I got you. That's it. That's all I know. God told me, he showed me a vision. The angel told me to go and get you. So that's it, you're here. Peter had a vision that said go. And so they're standing there in the middle of it, both having followed faith, both having done the word and talked, and now they're there and they don't know what to do. So what does Peter do? Peter's a wise man. Peter begins to preach and tell him exactly what he saw with Jesus. He tells him the gospel from his own personal account. And whilst he's preaching, the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles, falls on all the Roman soldiers' family and his close friends. And Peter, recognizing what God was doing, declares at that moment that there is no longer a barrier between Jews and Gentiles. That if God has poured out his Spirit on them, then as Jews, we too accept them. And so he baptizes each one of them and stays with them and continues to teach. In chapter 11, Peter goes back and he's accused of breaking the law. And then he tells the story of God's vision, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the reactions from the Christians, the Jewish Christians that Peter was leading, is that they accept the Gentiles and start to preach the gospel to them. See, because these two men had faith, they listened to God, they followed God, they did as they were told, they spoke the word of the gospel and they were living out. Because they did the deed that they were told to do, God said, go, they went. And because they didn't compromise the truth, see, it would have been easy for this centurion to be like, nah, I'm important in Rome. I'm not going to believe any of this stuff. I'm not going to do that. It would have been easy for Peter to say, nah, he's a Roman, I'm not going. Even Peter copped it when he got back. He got challenged. And the Roman would not, he would have been popular with the Jews later, but he wasn't popular with the Romans. See, these guys, they were in a scary spot. But right here is a moment in human history that will forever go down as God now taking the barrier that was his chosen people and making us all his chosen people. No longer was salvation for the Holy Spirit for the Jew, but for the Gentile too. And Jesus said he would do this. He said from Judea to Samaria to the other ends of the earth. Like we knew that this was going to happen, but in hindsight, 2020, at this moment, these two guys took a massive risk. They took the peace that they'd found. They told the world, and it united Jew and Gentile. Listen to God, tell others, live different, never compromise the truth. So then, how can you create peace in your home, in your workplace, in your school, in your friend group, in your suburb, in your nation? Faith, word, deed, truth. Make the center of your life Christ. Listen to the Holy Spirit and be led by Him. Pray and tell others of the peace that you've found in Jesus. And when God says go, go. Live His way, no longer ours. Never, ever, ever compromise the truth. See, peace of what we might think of as this, you know, lack of fighting, lack of angst, lack of anger and aggression. Any version of peace made via deception won't last. Because trust will eventually break, loyalties will break, all of those things. It might be scary to tell the truth, but it is the only way to find true peace. It's the only way to lead others to peace. Jesus said He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't compromise the truth of Jesus Christ. We should never do that. We must lead others. God, today, I pray for me and for each one of us here, each one of the believers in the house, we pray for more faith. God, build in us that there is more faith and more trust in You, more reliance on You, more reliance on the Holy Spirit, more trust in the Word that You give us. God, more of a understanding of the peace that You've got. God, like we know that peace transcends understanding, but let us understand a little bit more. Let us have a little bit more revelation to value so much what You've done for us. God, give us the right words to say, the right words at the right time. God, I pray for each one of us the right deeds. I pray that you guide us and you tell us where you want us to go, who you want us to talk to, who you want us to invite to church, who you want us to invite to connect group, who you want us to bring home. God, who is it that I'm going and telling the world about? Who is it that I'm going and telling about you? And God, for the courage to tell the truth so that our great city comes to know you, comes to know the peace that we know. God, not that things won't go wrong, but that when they do, we've built our house on the rock, that it won't fail, that even if it did, we get to live in heaven with you. God, that peace. God, I pray for each one of us that you equip us faith, word, deed, and truth. For those who don't know Christ, for those that this message kind of sounds a bit odd, like sounds a bit like, yeah, what was that thing I was supposed to receive? The reason we've received peace through Christ is that he died for our sins. See, we've all made mistakes, but those mistakes, they have eternal consequences, not just the consequences on earth. Those mistakes, those stuff-ups, those things that we've done that we wish we hadn't, they have eternal consequence in that it is a break in relationship with God. A break in relationship with the Creator. But how good he is that he sent his Son to pay the consequence instead of you. His Son paid on the cross. Jesus paid on the cross in blood, in break of relationship, in death. Died and was resurrected 3 days later as victory over death so that we no longer have to die. But instead, when we die in our bodies, we are united with God in heaven. He also broke that barrier between Jew and Gentile so that all men may be able to know God. And if you've not received that peace yet, if you've not received that moment and where Jesus has paid for your sins, it's actually really easy. The Bible says, faith, believe in your heart, word, confess with your mouth, deed, tell somebody that you're going to. Right here, believe in your heart, confess in your mouth, with your mouth. That is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and accept his salvation. If you are here for the first time and you have not made that decision, I'd love to lead you in a prayer. And the whole church is going to pray with you together. So would you repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. I accept the price paid on the cross. And I accept Jesus into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Take away my sin. Forgive me. And bring me back to relationship with you. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. If you made that decision for the first time today, we'd love to get to know you. You saw the ministry team up here before. Just grab one of those people. Let them know. We'd love to give you a Bible, get you connected with somebody and be able to, you know, take time to grow in your faith. Grow in your faith. Otherwise, I hope today that you've got a new challenge to take this peace that you've found to the rest of the world. I hope today God put somebody on your heart to go. Somebody in your family, in your work, in your school, in your, you know, wherever you are. God put somebody on your heart. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. And this week, I pray that each one of those conversations is blessed, has got God's hand all over it. Awesome.